No? Okay, great. Hi, everybody. This is Lynn Coles. I'm here with Co-op In Touch Interviews, and we are making sure that listeners and Austin locals and community members know the good work that community organizations and groups and individuals are doing during the COVID-19 crisis to help keep the community stable and healthy together. And this month, we are focusing on Juneteenth as our celebratory event, which, of course, is the 19th of June and celebrates the anniversary of the reading of the Emancipation Proclamation here in Texas. And so, to that end, we are speaking with Black community members and leaders and creatives who are making sure that their communities stay in touch with one another and stay healthy, also and stable during this pandemic and during the really difficult times that folks are living through right now, with more demonstrations and repeated instances of police violence against communities of color. So, to talk to with us today is a really amazing artist here in Austin. His name is Rex Hamilton, and his use of color in his work is just absolutely striking. And he's a real gifted conversationalist and good person to have on your side. So Rex, thanks so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that intro.
Yeah.
That was very nice. I feel good about
Yeah, your work is like it's just like it's a real engagement and like experiment in color usage. And I want everyone to check it out on Instagram if they have an Instagram account at Rex Hamilton Art, if folks are interested in exploring some of these pieces that Rex has come up with. Also, your website is rexsterlinghamiltonart.com. And we'll say those a couple more times throughout the interview, but just give listeners a little bit of background about yourself and how you came to producing art.
Oh yeah, for sure. Thank you again for all those great words. So I guess I pretty much started making art when I was around 3 or 4, 5-ish. Definitely before, I guess I started kindergarten, so around four. So my dad, his name is Rex Hamilton as well. He was doing a kind of architecture work for Texas Parks and Wildlife, but he also was a fine artist as well. So he would paint. He would do beautiful pencil portraits. He was definitely like the first person I knew who could draw a very like a super realistic face. So I think at a young age, you just kind of end up emulating your parents. And he had all the supplies. He would be constantly giving me pencils, paper, and the pretty good ones at that. They wouldn't usually just be like a number two pencil. He'd give me like a kneaded eraser and sketching pencils and like legit sketchbooks and stuff since I was pretty young. So I think just like a combination of wanting to emulate my dad and having the supplies and having the encouragement just kind of kept me going. So I pretty much have been doing art all throughout school. I definitely had at least, I always made sure to have at least one art class per semester till I graduated high school, pretty much. I always felt like if I didn't have an art class, then I would get pretty sad. Not like sad, it was my biggest interest. So if I didn't have it, I almost felt really connected with everything. So I've always had an art class as a great way of, I guess, express myself. And it's always been, I think at a young age, you start to gravitate towards what you get praised for. And I mean, once I was like in middle school, and it kind of was like separating from the pack as far as realizing that I was like pretty good at drawing, and people always kind of give you, like, oh, you're so good at so and so, then you really start to feel gravitate towards something. So that was definitely something that drove me towards that. And so I've been making art I guess, all through grade school. And I did some of it, I guess, initially. So my whole ordeal with college is a whole thing, but pretty much I ended up just buying. So I was going to UC and didn't have any art classes. So that was the first time I was like, well, so I would just go to ACC and pay out of pocket for art classes. and I pretty much like kind of continued to do that. And so like just kind of fast forward, and at a certain time, art had always been my first love through everything. Like, it was the thing I pretty much knew I was going to have some kind of involvement with for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I tried to imagine various forms of, like, when I was younger, I was like, oh, cartoonist or graphic designer. And, you know, you kind of go through all the jobs that you can think in your mind that include art that might be somewhat more stable or more, you know, quote unquote realistic, or, you know, something like that, until I got to maybe I was like 18 and I started painting. So this entire time I had only been really drawing, and I was like super, super duper skilled and familiar with like pencil and colored pencil.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd done that for pretty much 18 years, and I was slightly afraid to try painting because I didn't want to be bad at something. So I was like, oh, I don't want to suck at painting. And my first painting ever, it was very bad. I remember like specifically being like, wow, this is like bleep, you know, this is not good at all. And but I guess I've always had this kind of attitude, which I feel very grateful for, maybe a tribute to my parents. I've always had this attitude of like getting inspired, mm-hmm. Instead of getting, I guess, discouraged. So instead of being like, oh, my painting sucks, you know, I give up, I was super determined for my second painting to be very good. So I guess that kind of mentality really helped. And with my second painting, I started moving towards being more comfortable with paint and being like more, I guess, being happier with what I was starting to produce. And as the years kept going on, painting was like my main focus. And I think that was when I was 18, I started painting.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 28 now, which is wild to think. So I've been painting for 10 years, and it's definitely, I'm as comfortable with a paintbrush as I am with any other utensil.
Yeah. Is that kind of, is that your kind of main mode right now? Painting?
Yeah. Painting, really great for being able to use color quickly. Colored pencil is really great, but to get the kind of vibrant color I was going for, I was like, my art teacher described it as I was like burning through pencils. Like I would burn through these really expensive Prismacolor pencils because I wanted to get such a rich saturation.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you got to press down hard and just like eat those pencils. So I was eating a lot of them. So
I imagine your forearms were very strong.
It probably, right. I was probably like super strong without even realizing it. But, so I started to notice that with paint, I could really cover large areas on the canvas or on a piece and really use like vibrant colors. Plus, mm-hmm. one nice thing about painting is you can always cover up paint with more paint.
Right.
It's a little bit different with colored pencil, which is like wax-based. Once it's on, you really can't erase colored pencil. It's almost impossible, especially if you dig in deep with a pencil.
So, yeah.
But I digress. So around this time, I'd always been lifeguarding as well since I was 15. I lifeguarded, always kind of had a slightly unconventional job.
Mm-hmm.
And I was lifeguarding. I lifeguarded from 15 till I was maybe about like 21-ish.
Mm-hmm.
And I really loved it. I did it every summer, and it was a lot of fun. It was, you know, you got to be outside. And this one particular summer, I ended up, and this is amidst a lot of other things happening, you know, so cut and dry, but
mm-hmm.
one of the things that really led me to want to become an artist full time, especially, you know, with it being as, what is the word I'm looking for? Not unstable, but you know, when something's not given, I can't think of the word. It'll come to me. It's just, it wasn't a sure thing. To succeed as an artist isn't really a sure thing.
Oh, sure. Right. Like to have like a career future.
Right. The word eludes me right now, but anyways.
Okay.
so as I was lifeguarding one summer, you know, you start to get older. I think I was like 20, 22, 23 at the time. Definitely one of the older lifeguards. And I was feeling like I knew I wanted to be an artist at that point. I knew I wanted to be an artist, but I think the traditional route is really to kind of have one foot in the door, one foot out the door, to have like a safety net to kind of have a plan B. And so one year whenever I was lifeguarding, I was thinking, and I remember I was at this really great party that was thrown by the lifeguards, and I was having a great time and made a lot of friends over the summer. And I was like, you know what, I could do this like all year. I could pretty much put art on the back burner for like a second. And I was thinking all this while driving home the next morning. We had all gotten tacos and I was driving home. And I was up in North Austin driving back to South Austin. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this is great. You know, I made a lot of friends. I could put art on the back burner for a little bit and try and save up money and, you know, pretty much do like the safety route, what's kind of expected of you to do. And so I was pretty much going to do that. And I was doing that while I was having these thoughts and having that internal dialogue. I saw somebody on the side of the road and their car was broken, and they were pushing it in the rain. And I remember somebody had helped me push my car in the rain like a year ago. So I was like, oh, I was having such a great day. I'll go help this person.
Right.
So I was stopping, and as I was turning to go help this person, it was, again, this was pouring rain, and it was like in a 35 mile an hour zone. There's this dude going 70 cutting in and out of traffic, I was told, and he rear-ended me, and I did two flips, and my car hit a pole, so the roof of my car was touching the floor of my car.
Oh my gosh.
I got in a terrible car crash, and luckily, as I stepped out, I was able to step out of the car, and I was able to leave that crash with only whiplash.
Oh my gosh.
Right, you see my car, and it looked like the Incredible Hulk had just jumped in it, and this pretty much the part of the roof that came down came back like right behind my headrest. So if it was like half a foot, like a couple inches closer, it would have really came down on the back of my neck. So just thinking about, and that was like the last thing on my mind. Like,
right.
That was the thing about that. The last thing on my mind at that day was I would get in a car crash. So as it initially happens, you're kind of, you have your own thoughts about it. But the week had passed and I really thought about it. I was like, yeah, you can kind of go at any moment, you know.
Right.
And that really, I really kind of contribute that always to being this really radical aspect that happened in my life that pushed me into becoming an artist full time. It was pretty much, if I feel like I can go at any moment, I'd rather go out pursue my dream.
Right. Yeah, there's like an interesting necessity there, right? Like what's the thing that you need to do?
Right, and it's hard to tell that to other people sometimes, because I understand if you don't really have a near-death experience, then that intensity won't necessarily resonate, and I of course understand that. But for me, I felt fortunate enough to have that experience for me to be like, I'm going to become an artist, you know, I'm going to be an artist, or I'm going to die. And that was like the intensity I approached everything with.
Wow.
And for that first year, it was hard. I played out that archetype, the starving artist.
Yeah.
The first year wasn't very fun, even though I was having fun during it. You know, it's only as you like recollect and look back and reflect, you're like, yeah, that was rough. I wouldn't necessarily want to do that again.
Right.
While you're doing it, you kind of have this passion and this inspiration that really pushes you through everything. And I really felt like after that first year, it was almost like an artist, like initiation. I felt like I do have a very metaphysical point of view on things, but I felt like the universe had opened up the doors after you. It's like the universe wanted to see how dedicated I really was, how serious I was to becoming an artist. And
right.
That first year was the initiation. And I vowed with myself. I was like, I'm never going to do anything aside from, I will always support myself with art no matter what.
Yeah, you just answer the universe like completely head on. You're like, okay, yeah. No questions asked. This is what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, I'll do it or I'll die. I hope I don't die.
Right.
And the universe didn't let, you know, it just gradually, like every year it would get easier. It would be like, at first I was barely covering, you know, rent once I had a place. And then it was like, I'd cover rent and groceries, and then I'd cover rent and groceries and have a little bit of extra money for, like, you know, other necessities. And then it got to the point where it's like I was able to have, like, a little bit extra money to, you know, maybe go out and eat with a friend or, you know, just do little things. And then it got to the point where I was able to really start to, like, invest in myself again and have nice things, and to the point where it became a lot more comfortable.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, this level of abundance just kept increasing. Even there would be times when I'd be very uncertain, like, you know, especially at the beginning, you know, like, how are you going to pay for rent this month? And it always worked out, like, month after month. You know, I'd get a commission or somebody would buy a painting, and it'd keep happening.
Yeah,
it's a very beautiful thing, really. One second.
Sure.
My mom was trying to call me at the fire. And yeah, I know that was kind of a digression as to what really led me down the path of art, but I really felt like art is so entangled in my life at this point that it is like my life. Like, my entire life consists of Rex Hamilton and art, you know, that is what my existence is at this point. And I'm very fortunate for, I'm very happy that I was able to develop this gift, this way to express myself and this way to inspire others. And I'm very super grateful that I've had support from people, like people that I love, people I hadn't even met, people I don't know, people I do know.
Yeah.
They just have so much support, and it continues to grow, and it's a beautiful thing. And yeah.
Definitely. Well, hearing that story really gives the intensity and energy, and you mentioned abundance, and I think that's a great word for your work, which is just, you know, replete with richness and resource. And you mentioned the necessity also of, like, being inspired too. Is there anything about the current situation that has been inspiring to you?
And I guess to comment on the initial part too, to kind of connect it. So I use a lot of vibrant color in my work, and over, like, the past years, I've really felt a necessity to express people of color.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you look at art history, and it's pretty much is kind of a fair-skinned landscape,
yeah,
for the most part, which it is what it is. I love a lot of the art that was made. It's all beautiful, but there wasn't really any representation of people of color. So, I really did resonate with, I guess, that term, people of color. So that's why I kind of, you know, I added an F pretty much to the end of that, like, people of colors.
Yeah.
And I've always been fascinated with vibrant color. So as I started to move more so into this representation of people in color, I felt it was only necessary to become more abundant with color. And I always really feel like what you make, you put out into the world. And it's kind of like what you manifest. And when you focus as much energy into something like a painting, you're really, really manifesting something. That's why I always choose to depict something beautiful.
Because
I feel like with beauty, and not necessarily like aesthetic beauty for like a person, but just beauty in general, and if you can express beauty in harmony, then that will manifest itself in the world. And I believe that we need artists that are radical artists to depict every aspect of life. But for me, the part that always kind of felt like my calling was to depict the beauty in life, was to depict the balance, you know, was to show what I wanted to see in the world, which was harmony. I wanted to see beauty and harmony, because I believe that most people want in life. And so with what happened recently, what's been happening, you know, you feel the pain, and I've seen a lot of super negative imagery, which is super necessary, I think, to show people, like, the truth of what's happening, to not necessarily gloss over it. So I've been seeing a lot of that, and the way I was feeling inspired by that was how can I combine my point of view, which is to depict the beautiful and the harmonic, and use that and alter it in a way to depict what's happening now, so that I don't depict I want to make a picture that's more so uplifting. Mm-hmm. I want to make a picture that inspires people to understand why we want the change, and I want it to be that balance. I don't want to make something just like uber positive, super beautiful, even though we do need that, and I still will continue to make that. But I felt really inspired to make this current piece that I'll be sharing pretty soon.
Awesome.
Which is definitely a comment on what's happening, which I feel has that balance. Because, images are strong. I don't really want to paint a picture of police brutality, even though that's the truth, and there will be artists that paint that. But I want to paint a picture that empowers, and in this instance, I want to paint a picture that empowers Black people.
Yeah.
And trying to find that is very tricky, and I feel like what I'm doing right now is representative of that.
Wow.
That balance of putting out something empowering as opposed to putting out something disturbing that would cause change. You know, I want to put out something empowering that would cause change.
Yeah.
And it was, I'm really excited to share this. And it took me a couple of days to figure out an image. And I knew I would have to really ponder and kind of meditate on something that I think could represent what's happening in a way that I felt comfortable, in a way that I wanted to show. And I mean, that's the cool thing about art. The more you make it, you start to realize that the idea will come to you. And what's been happening right now is very... And inspiration is such a strange term to describe this.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, because you think of inspiration, you think of, you know, oh, I saw something that was so cool that it made me super inspired to create something else really cool. And it's not necessarily the case. It's being inspired to evoke a positive change from such a negative event.
Yeah. Well, and also you mentioned being an artist who is like driven to depict what's beautiful. You know, it's got to be difficult and also really fascinating when you do find a way to balance that kind of beauty with what's real, you know, which
exactly.
Which can be particularly violent and particularly frustrating,
exactly.
You know?
Yeah, especially at a time like this when depicting the violence is almost kind of a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
I guess kind of speaking more so on what's happening, I've been seeing a lot of very interesting things like on the news, where the news kind of covers more so the violent acts which occur, that kind of focusing on like the looting. It really is kind of focusing on it's focusing on even more of a negative without showing any of the brutality that's happening, that's really only being shared by people.
Mm-hmm.
Like showing how these cops are pretty much using such unnecessary force, and like almost if the people say like, or not people, but it's labeled non-lethal force, but a lot of it is still lethal. And they're using that on peaceful protesters.
Yeah.
And none of that's really being shown. So I really feel it would be unnecessary. It wouldn't really be appropriate to just paint something super, you know, like super beautiful, because a lot of what's happening, the truth of a lot of what's happening is really being hidden from a large majority of people. And a lot of that is the brutality happening by the peace before this and during these peaceful protests.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a very complex situation.
Definitely. Well, I can't wait to see this new piece as it as you unveil it. And you know, you mentioned the real power that your art has to be inspiring for other people also, not just to you. I'm wondering, have you ever, given that Juneteenth is coming around the corner, have you ever participated or just been to a Juneteenth celebration in Central Texas that was empowering for you as a Black artist?
Yeah, definitely over on the east side, like Rosewood and mm-hmm. stuff like that. I remember I used to go sometimes with I worked with a friend whenever I was younger, and before I even really knew what it was about. And I always, so once you figure out what it's about, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. I mean, when you're a kid, you know, that's really as far as you go.
They got you in at the party.
Yeah, you're like, oh, this is cool. You know, some really great music. People, everyone's having a good time. But yeah, it's actually been a couple of years since I've gone to one. So, I mean, I definitely want to go this year. And yeah, and just seeing Black people come together and have a good time and to celebrate freedom, it's a beautiful thing. See, that's also like kind of touching on like the beauty amidst everything, right?
Yeah.
Like, as much as you see, you know, there's violence against Black people, we need the balance of seeing, you know, the beauty of Black people as well.
Yeah.
Celebrate. Yeah, definitely.
Well, I think between the virtual Juneteenth, were you about to say something?
No, I was going to say have a roundabout answer, but
okay. there is a the official Juneteenth Central Texas parade has been postponed until 2021, but there is a virtual event that the George Washington Carver Museum and another Black Cultural District organization has been putting together, and that'll be on the 19th starting at 6 p.m. So we'll share that link. Yeah, I'll send you that one. And
I
say what?
I like send that to me too, please.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that the your work as powerful as it is, you know, in line with the spirit of Juneteenth in terms of capturing the real generative and creative capacity of the African American community here in Austin, and in Central Texas, and you know, all around. I can't wait to be to share your work with folks and see how people react to your new pieces. And I just want to say it again, Rex's Instagram handle is at Rex Hamilton Art, and his website is RexSterlingHamiltonArt.com. And Rex, we will link to those on the website when we get this interview uploaded too.
Definitely, I appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I thank you so much for your time. Hearing about your process is really insightful as I continue to look at your work moving forward.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and keep us posted if you're coming out with something new. We'd love to like be an avenue for you to do a radio press release.
That would be awesome. Yeah, of course. Yeah, I mean, if anything, I'll reach out to you again about this one. I feel kind of like I don't want to share too many progress photos.
Yeah.
I think this piece will be more powerful completed. So when that does happen, and that's kind of my main focus right now, I'm expediting this piece, I will reach back out to you. That would be really cool to do a press release.
Awesome. well, yeah, and I just want to thank you again for your work, which really does represent very real situations in very beautiful ways, finding harmony between the tragic and the awe-inspiring and gorgeous. So
thank you.
Yeah, we will stay in touch, and yeah, thanks again for doing this interview.
For sure, thank you for reaching out to me. It's a privilege and honor. You really make me feel great about myself.
Oh, good.
Yeah, no, this was great. And yeah, again, I know I do have a roundabout way of talking, and I could probably talk forever. So my bad for that.
No, that's fine.
And the way I talk is not really the way I talk. Although I try and express myself more accurately through painting.
Oh,
but, you know, look at the painting. You'll see.
Right. Right. There's 1,000 words right there. Exactly. All right. Well, let's sign off for now, but we will talk soon. All right, Rex.
All right. Thank you, Lynn.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
bye.
You. All right. Bye.